lips and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So ends today's psalm, Psalm 19, with those words, may the lips and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight. And so always start my sermons and homilies. Those of you who have already read my reflection on today's psalm will have already learnt that I always start my sermons in this way as a tribute to the late Reverend Norman Cooper, who was my vicar at Caxton Church in Neath when I was a teenager, back in the dark ages. Norman was a remarkable man of God and was the very epitome of a person who provided a ministry of love, grace, and service to all people, both within and outside the church. He kept me engaged in my faith in what can often be the wilderness years of a teenager. He also had a wonderful sense of humour. I am honoured that his widow gave me Norman's ordination Bible on the day of my priesting. And here on the front cover, it is that Norman Cooper, presented to Norman Cooper on Saturday, June the 4th, 1966. On the day that he himself was ordained priest. Unfortunately, Norman's life was cut far too short due to a tragic car accident. But he stays with me. Norman walked the walk. Norman talked the talk with total integrity. And in that way, he continues to be a mentor to me personally. In all his wonderful Christ-like ministry, though, I don't remember Norman making a whip of cords and driving people out of St. Patrick's Church in Kennington in Eve. In fact, I don't remember Norman ever losing his temper. That's something that I could take heed of. But there we go. But what about Jesus? In our Gospel reading, there is no sweet Jesus, meek and mild. Well, to my mind, that is a misunderstanding of Jesus. Jesus was a person of great passion, with a righteous anger. And in the Gospel, we are told exactly the reason that Jesus' passion, his temper, his zeal in the temple. The temple was the most beautiful and remarkable place due to its size, grandeur, and cultural significance. We don't really have anything to compare with it in the Church of England, in that it was so much more to people than Wells or Canterbury or any other cathedral that we might love and visit and worship. The temple was seen as the very dwelling place of God in the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus enters the temple, he sees corruption and how the ordinary people, although nobody is ordinary in Jesus' eyes, how the ordinary people are being abused and taken advantage of by the authorities and the traders who are making money out of the law. They are abusing their position, serving themselves rather than serving the very people for whom the temple is built. And Jesus is, put it frankly, furious about it all. And he's not the only one to be angry in this section either. The chief priests are furious back with Jesus too. They ask him, probably shouted at him, how dare you do this? By what authority do you do it by? And Jesus' response, destroy this temple in 3 days and I will raise it up again. Now, we know that he was talking about his body. However, perhaps not surprisingly, the chief priests are mystified by it. Pre-built a temple in 3 days? That's impossible. As Jesus entered the temple, he knew that he was on a collision course with the authorities. He saw the abuse taking place in the dwelling place of God. And he knew that one day, these very same people would take him, Jesus, the new living temple of God. And you'd be arrested, taken, and crucified. But Jesus knew that his Father in heaven was sending Jesus to lay down his life so that he might redeem the world and begin a new age in God's relationship with humanity. A message that would be for both Jew and Greek. Even if culturally they view crucifixion to be a stumbling block or foolishness, as St. Paul tells the Christian community of Corinth. Jesus knows that what he is doing is totally acceptable in his Father's sight. His Father, who is his strength and redeemer. And it is this that drives him on. And it is this divine love that will prompt Jesus to one day say from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." We meet Jesus today in the breaking of the bread. What will Jesus see in us? What will Jesus see in the church building? What will Jesus see in us as a church community? He has come to be with us. He has come to encourage us. He has come to heal us. The dwelling place of God is Jesus himself. And to me, that is the meaning of the reading today. When we ask, where is Jesus? He is in you, in each of us, and with us. And so what do we do with that knowledge? Challenge him, as the people of his own time did, and say, "Show us the signs, show us miracles, give us some of your razzle-dazzle." No, because we are not to put him to the test. We listen to his words when he simply says, "I am with you today, tomorrow, all days, even to the consummation of the world." Our life, our witness, is to walk with him and talk with him and let him influence us so that we can walk through life with a sense of joy, peace, love, and service for one another. It was what my mentor, Norman, managed to do in his ministry. Reflect this week on the people who have affected you in your pilgrimage, in your journey of faith. What was it that they had that made you think, "I can follow this person. This person is absolutely shining out with God's glory"? We all need to work. We all need to work so that for each of us, the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts will always be acceptable in his sight. He who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.